Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
My name is Nadia, and I'm 26 years old. Until recently, I used to work at a Subway restaurant. It wasn't the most fascinating or well-paying job in the world, but in general, I was enjoying it enough. Except during those hours in which there were too many customers. But there were other surprises waiting for me as a Subway employee, and they were far from being boring. On one occasion, during a very rainy and stormy Wednesday afternoon, there were just a few people present. Besides me and two co-workers, there were six other customers. One of them was a very kind woman, who just gave me a generous tip. Too generous, actually. $20. I was surprised, but she just said, "Oh, I'm having a very good week, and the day promises to be even better."
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I like to repay back the world, to the universe, whatever it feels right. And today, dear, the universe is you. And that's just how it works. The circle of life. It was quite an eccentric statement, but I always liked original people. I'm not even everyone needs to be normal kind of person myself. The woman had big green eyes and dark blonde hair turning gray. She was maybe around 50 years old and was wearing black jeans and a dark blue sweater. It was November, so it was cold enough. The woman waved at me one more time before she left the store, well equipped with her white umbrella to protect her from the rain. Eventually, my shift came to an end, and it was now 8 p.m. I left the store, and it was still raining and was quite windy as well. I didn't have an umbrella, unlike the tip lady, but I had parked my car in a small street nearby. It was a relatively hidden street that only the locals knew about. Plus, I had a decent raincoat. So after a couple minutes of a walk, I was finally in front of my car, struggling to open the driver's door under such annoying rain, until I felt something pierce my neck. I couldn't feel my legs, and slowly let myself fall to the ground while the rain was falling onto me. My vision became completely blurry, and I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was in a big room. Everything around me was white. The walls, the floor, the ceiling. In fact, I wasn't wearing my own clothes anymore. Instead, someone dressed me in a white robe of a soft fabric. I was laying on a bed. Slowly recapturing my senses and trying to remember what happened, which wasn't much, I got out of bed. The floor was warm enough, even though I didn't have socks or shoes with me. Not all of the walls were white, though. In front of me, there was a gigantic glass. I approached it and tried to see through it. There was a small room with a couple of chairs inside, but no one was there, at least for the moment. Near the bed, there was a table with a bottle of water. I was actually very thirsty, but I didn't want to drink it because I had no idea what kind of substance was in there for me to take. Obviously, I had been kidnapped, and that's not the best way to start a friendship. Nervous, waiting for something to happen, even without thinking, I tried to grab my long hair as a subconscious way to relax, only to realize my hair had been completely shaved. I tried to see some kind of reflection of my face in the big glass window as my hands were still hopelessly spreading themselves through my head, feeling my new naked texture. And finally, I started to scream.
Hey! Hey, what's happening? What do you want from me? Someone, please! Someone talk to me!
At this point, I just wanted to know what kind of mad scenario I'd been brought to. After a few minutes, a person did appear on the other side of the glass window. I was surprised to see it was a young girl. With a sad smile on her face, her head was also shaved, and she was dressed in a white robe, just like mine.
Hello? Who are you?
My name is Nadia, I said to her. Hello, Nadia. I am Alice. She answered, looking at me with her small blue eyes. She appeared to be sick. Even through the glass, I could see Alice was very pale and weak. How old are you?
I'm 18.
What kind of place is this? What are you doing here? What are we doing here? I asked, trying my best to keep calm to avoid scaring her away, for both our sakes.
This is my mother's personal laboratory. She was the one who brought you here. I'm very sorry, she answered, turning her eyes to the floor, as if she was embarrassed.
What? What for? I asked, now raising my voice, unable to keep myself together, immersed in panic.
I'm very sick, and I need a new kidney. My mother ran some tests on your blood. You seem to be quite healthy. So my mother is going to take one of your kidneys and put it in me. She says you won't feel a thing, the girl said, clearly ashamed.
Once again, everything around me started to spin. It was as if the horrible white room was closing in on me, devouring me. I walked towards the bed and lied down. Tears were falling from my face. The mere thought of being cut open so that a piece of my organ could be taken out away was not only terrifying, but strangely sad. It felt like a violation. And what if I didn't survive? What if I wasn't meant to survive the whole operation? I let numbness take over me. Soon, I fell asleep. I don't know how many hours went by before I woke up, but I didn't wake up on my own. Someone poured water on my hairless head. Just a few drops, but enough to do the trick. It was the same girl.
You know, I am sick too. My mother is a good medical doctor, but not even a new kidney can save me, because I could never live knowing how I survived in the past. Maybe this will finally stop the madness. My mother's madness, Alice said. And with a surprisingly fast movement, a desperate movement, the young Alice cut her throat with some kind of medical piercing instrument. I screamed as I held her while she bled to death right in front of me. With Alice's corpse right beside me, the room wasn't pure white anymore, but bloody red. Alice's mother, not being able to find her daughter, I assume, eventually came to see if she was there in the small room behind the glass window. When she saw her daughter lying dead, soaked in blood in my arms, the woman just froze and kept staring at such a dreadful scene. After a long moment, she left the glass room. Eventually, the police arrived, and I was set free. Apparently, Alice's mother called the authorities herself, but she escaped, avoiding being placed under arrest. Where she was now, what kind of thoughts she must be going through, and what she was doing at this moment, I had no idea. And I hope I never get to know. Rest in peace, Alice. And thank you for saving me. I will never forget you.
If you go downtown and make a left at Pappy's Cafe, you'll find yourself in front of a laundromat owned by a small Chinese lady. She has a very funny slogan, so I'm pretty sure you wouldn't miss it. From the laundromat, Take another left till you see a bookstore that only sells spiritual and wellness books. Then, three buildings away from that, you'll come to see a small building in the middle of two huge stores. That building's mine. Subway. Well, technically it isn't actually mine. Not yet, anyway. I've been working there 6 years now, and the owner, Mr. Nick, talks about handing it over to me when he's ready for retirement. And ever since, I've been dreaming about the days when I would be the proud owner of the establishment. I felt like I could finally be able to implement some of my own ideas and make some changes to the place that I felt would greatly increase our customer inflow. I'd brought them up on countless occasions with Mr. Nick, but you know how old people are. Stubborn as hell and allergic to change. Mr. Nick doesn't come in much these days. He's busy spending time with his children and their children, but I still run the business, just as he taught me. So you could say I was already the owner of the establishment. I was also the only permanent staff member. The place wasn't too large, and we didn't need anyone snooping around like a lost mouse. So I only hired the help necessary for the business. And that meant keeping only 4 people at max. They were all temporary, with lots of shifts to prevent them from staying too long on the property. Their employment was not too long either. They would be employed for a little over a month, and when they were getting comfortable enough with everything, and they would soon be in the mood to ask questions, I fired them. Our Subway store had immense potential, but Mr. Nick decided to keep it low-key. It's much easier to stay hidden and easier to manage that way. And you might be wondering why we were so secretive, but that was only due to our business ethics. It may be seen as horrific by some and downright nasty and disgusting to others, but that was how the company was run and how I was taught to run it. It's not like we're criminals or anything. We just prefer to take laws into our own hands. Our place had been robbed quite a few times in the past. I'm quite certain that I've had more guns pointed in my face than most police officers. I'd been in front of a barrel of a gun more times than I would like. Luckily, Mr. Nick taught me how to handle such scenarios, and I have never gotten shot or beaten up. I would calmly open the register and allow them to take as much as they wanted, which was usually all of it. But it was never the whole profit from sales that day, only a quarter. We usually hid the rest away because it was better if they found a quarter full register than an empty one. We were robbed, but we never incurred any losses. But what our customers didn't know, and which was probably against the law, was that we had hidden cameras all around the premises. The cameras would tell us how the robber or robbers looked, and we wouldn't press any charges. We had our own ways of finding them, and we would track them down and get back our pound of flesh, which was usually more than a pound. And that was how we never incurred losses, but always made profits. The robbers weren't the only terrible folks who came to our fine establishment to constitute a nuisance. Some thought it was funny to come and eat quality sandwiches and run off without paying a dime. Just goes to show how people take advantage of good things. Here at Subway, we made our customers feel at ease, so we allowed them to eat and savor their meals before paying. And because of the small number of staff, some customers would run without paying. But as I said earlier, we had cameras everywhere that help us find these swindlers. I specifically remember this particular customer. Really hard to forget him, since the profit we made off of him was astronomical. He was a really large man, and permit me to say fat. He was a really fat fella. And he racked up a gigantic $117.50 bill. I checked the cameras, had a picture of him developed, and used the tricks Mr. Nick taught me to track him down. I found his address 2 days later, and one night, I decided to pay him a visit. He was a real slob, if I should say, and his apartment stank. I managed to pick his lock and found him asleep on his bed. He was so large that I couldn't tell which parts were a mattress and which parts were the man. I then incapacitated him with chloroform, but the difficult part was hauling him to my van outside. I managed the seemingly impossible task somehow. I strapped him on the floor, got my special apron, and waited for him to wake up. He woke up a few minutes later, looking frightened and ready to pee in his pants. "Do you know where you are?" I asked him.
"Please, I didn't do anything," he blubbered.
"Do you know where you are?" I asked him.
"No,"
he said, finally. "Remember, it's the place you ate and failed to make payment," I said, presenting him with the bill. He paled when he saw the bill, and a wet patch formed on his sweatpants. He probably did it a lot.
I'm sorry, I'll pay," he blubbered.
"It's too late for that, Barry," I said, shaking my head. I went to the corner of the room and pulled off a cloth, covering a table to reveal a table of cutting equipment, and picked up a circular saw.
What's that for?"
he asked, frightened as I turned it on. The whirring sound was deafening, but never carried through the soundproof walls. "You're about to repay your debt," I said as I put on a face shield.
"I'll pay you, please, I'm sorry,"
he begged. "You will. This is your pound of flesh. Or in your case, 300 pounds, I said, as I pressed the spinning blade to his arm. He screamed and blood splattered everywhere. I didn't stop till he was nothing more than chunks of meat and bones. From a loss of $117.50, we would be able to save over $1,000. If you go downtown and make a left at Pappy's Cafe, you'll find yourself in front of a laundromat owned by a small Chinese lady. She has a very funny slogan, so I'm pretty sure you wouldn't miss it. From the laundromat, take another left till you see a bookstore that only sells spiritual and wellness books. Then, three buildings away from that, you'll come to a small building in the middle of two huge stores. There's a sandwich store there called Subway that makes the world's best sandwiches. Our customer service is second to none, and you are guaranteed one heck of a good time. But we only have one rule which we take seriously. Don't steal from us.
Midnight snacking was never an option. I didn't fancy it. Not because I didn't want to, but because of how it made me feel. It would seem good to munch on snacks, but the results were always bad. I would wake up feeling bloated and disgusted, as if I had committed some previous crime the night before. Over the past 7 days, I had managed to maneuver my life towards a healthy lifestyle and had kept my hands away from the snacks. My streak was about to be broken when Tracy informed me about her plans for a sleepover at my place. Tracy was a lover of midnight snacks, and whenever she was around, I didn't mind, because I would lose my sleep, snack or not. Tracy became my best friend. I was a big lover of hamburgers, and so was Tracy. Because of this, our midnight snack was always from Wendy's. When Tracy arrived, we did a little chit-chat until a little later, and then she placed the order for the burgers. Tracy recently got a boyfriend, and I had been waiting all week to listen to the backstory in detail without omissions or pauses. It was the main reason she came for the sleepover. The best part of the sleepover was that we had the whole house to ourselves. My parents were away for the weekend, and that meant we had all the privacy in the world.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It was also the reason why I knew that midnight snack or not, I wasn't getting any sleep. Halfway into her story, I concluded that it wasn't as juicy as I expected it to be. For a while, I was confused, wondering if the guy had made a move on Tracy at all, because from the way she narrated so far, it seemed like Tracy made all the moves. The rumor at school echoed to be true, and more than hearing the backstory, I was interested in what made Tracy fall in love with her new boyfriend, Harry. Harry was the ugliest guy of the school.
While on the other hand, my friend Tracy was super sexy. According to me, she was simply toying with him, and it wasn't right. It was one of the little secrets I never shared with Tracy. It was no wonder, though. Tracy had always been like that. A message popped up on Tracy's phone, and she declared the burger guy was here. The moment I saw the delivery man, or better call him delivery boy, I clearly understood the reason why my friend chose Harry. Well, Harry was the delivery boy standing at the door. Apparently, he was running errands to please her. As he gave the food packet to Tracy, he leaned in for a kiss, but Tracy slapped him in the face. "For God's sakes, Harry, stop being so desperate. And try to brush that stinky mouth of yours sometime. Now go away, I'm with my best friend." Well, to be honest, Harry was disgusting. He was like a tunnel rat. But that still didn't warrant Tracy to be rude to him. Or was she right? I mean, how could he even think that she was going to kiss him? Or even date him? "You should eat that while thinking about me," he said. And I thought that was something about his voice that was weird. His lopsided smile, too. Tracy nodded and shut the door. He didn't leave. I knew because I saw him through the side window staring into the house. 15 minutes had gone by, and we were chatting and enjoying our snack. But I had this feeling that Harry was still somewhere around the house. Although I didn't see him, I could feel his presence. The fact that someone was watching. It's that same feeling when someone is staring at you when you're not looking, but you just know it. I couldn't mention it to Tracy. I didn't want her to think I was paranoid. After a bite, I pulled the remnant of the burger from my mouth to take a quick peek. At the same time, something sharp pricked the top of my tongue as my mouth collapsed over the food in my mouth. It felt like a needle trying to pass through the soft tissue. I threw down the burger and cried in pain. Tracy ran towards me, and the burger in her hand fell off, revealing a large dose of what resembled some sort of pills. We froze in our spots. "Who did this?" I wanted to ask, but the pain in my tongue inflicted more pain. I winced loudly, and she took hold of my chin, holding my mouth in place, while she removed the office pin from my tongue. Blood filled my mouth. When it was successfully dislodged, I went to the sink and washed my mouth, while Tracy checked the burger in my hand. The blood was still flowing. We realized that there were more pins. Fear gripped us. Never had this happened to us before. Never had we seen pills and pins in a burger, no matter how much we ate them. It had to be Harry. I stood up and ran towards the side window. He was staring into the house, just like he was waiting for something. Tracy joined me. Together, we saw the sly, disappointed smile that remained plastered on his face as he shook his head and walked away. We rushed out to meet him. Tracy dialed the emergency number as we went. He stopped in his tracks at the sound of our footsteps behind you. "Why did you do it?" Tracy asked before I could gather my words. Harry looked different, with the sinister look on his face and the mischief that filled his eyes. He shrugged. "Nothing." He grinned, and goosebumps covered my skin. I was really scared now. Harry was not only ugly, but with the darkness that enveloped the atmosphere and the silent whispers in the dead of night, he seemed like a monster. "I just like the sight of blood. Like the little line trickling down your lips, Joan." He pointed towards me. I put my hand on my lip and felt the warm liquid. "Are you out of your fucking mind? I thought you liked me, you ugly fuck," Tracy screamed. His eyes were cold as he stared at Tracy. "I don't like you. I don't like how you made the entire school believe I was falling head over heels for you. I just wanted to get rid of you. Bitches like you need to be taught a lesson. Those pills, they would have made you unconscious. Then, I would have treated you like my actual girlfriend. And I would have taken selfies to prove and show everyone at school. Tracy shivered as Harry spoke. But I don't have an ugly heart and won't stoop so low. Instead, I have a better plan. Harry laughed, and that's when I saw the sharp blade in his hand. He took slow steps towards us. The sharpness of the blade reflected the moon, and for a while, I thought death was upon us. Tracy had messed up with the wrong guy this time. That was all I thought of. But just in time, the police arrived, and Psycho Harry was gone for good. After that incident, I broke up my friendship with Tracy. I had thought that the whole Harry thing would change her outlook towards life and make her a better person. But sadly, she was still the same.
I think I need a new set of friends. The ones I have nearly killed me. But guess I can't blame them. It wasn't completely their fault. Normally, I'm a very carefree guy and not really the most fashion-forward gentleman out there. I just felt all that stress of having to wear specific clothes, shoes, and accessories was a complete waste of time. As long as I looked good and was not homeless, I didn't really care what I was wearing. But that didn't seem to sit well with my friends, who were constantly teasing me about the clothes I chose to wear. They would make fun of me and take pictures of me for later. A few of them tried their best to get me to be more fashion conscious, but I didn't see the point of it. And frankly, I found it stressful to maintain a look just to be appreciated by society. I don't know if it was due to peer pressure, but I couldn't understand why people would wear ugly but expensive clothing all in the name of fashion. I only bought the clothes I needed and clothes that looked nice. Finally, after a lot of pressure, I did decide to take their advice concerning my sneakers. I bought them nearly 3 years ago and wore them literally everywhere, and it showed. Their initial color had all but faded and the sole had worn down. They looked like they'd been rolled over by a steamroller and were now shapeless and ugly. But they were comfortable, so I kept them. And most importantly, they fit me really well. I had really large feet and I used size 11 and a half. Wasn't exactly easy moving from store to store looking for the perfect fit, but my friends pestered me and kept bringing up the state of my shoes till I agreed to get a new one. "Dude, when are you going to get rid of those abominations on your feet?" he asked one day when he came over to my place as I was about to step out. "If you're going to make fun of my kicks, you can leave," I said to him, tired of them always bringing it up. "Bro, those shouldn't even be called kicks," he laughed as he plopped onto my couch. "Ha ha ha," I said mockingly. "But honestly, don't you think it's time you laid these to rest?" he asked. "Thank them for their service and bury them in the backyard," he went on. "Dude, I would if I could, but I'm not ready to start going from block to block, store to store looking for new kicks." I sighed. "You don't need any of that," he said. "You remember my girl Charlene?" he asked me. I didn't answer, but gave him a look. "What?" he asked innocently. "You know what?" I replied to him. "You've dated like 4 different Charlenes, and all within a year," I said. "So you can remember all the ladies I've dated, but you don't know when to change your shoes?" he inquired, raising an eyebrow. "Fine," I said, conceding defeat. "But which of the Charlenes?" I asked. "Charlene that worked down at Starbucks," he said. "So she has this friend working at that massive shoe store down on 56, the Foot Locker," he continued. "She gets some shoes off the books, which she sells for super cheap. That's where I get all my wicked kicks from. I already took the liberty of telling her about you, Bigfoot," he continued. "She would have a few shoes in your size by the end of the week. You should go check it out," he finished. 3 days later, I was heading to the Foot Locker down on 56. The store was large, so it wasn't hard to locate. Unfortunately, Charlene had called in sick, but her friend who was in on the business was around to help me out. Charlene had kept the shoes in storage. All she would have to do was help me get them. Her name was Ella, and she was a really shy-looking girl. She looked too soft and barely made eye contact with me throughout. She looked to be Hispanic and had a petite figure. She barely said a word as well. I wondered if Charlene had actually forced her to be a part of her scheme. Ella looked like someone who would crack under pressure and confess every sin she had ever committed. She took me to where she kept the shoes hidden because she was frightened of me trying them out in public. I guess she didn't know the size of shoes I would be ordering because when she brought out the first one, she gasped. People were normally shocked whenever they saw my feet or heard my shoe size, but her reaction was different. She started hyperventilating and froze, staring into space. I tried to calm her down, but she flinched at my touch. Eventually, she calmed down on her own, and we went back to trying out the shoes, but she had a look of fear in her eyes, stayed as far away from me as possible. I bought 4 out of the 6 shoes and left, wondering what all the fuss was about. I threw the door open as I got home and flung the bag of shoes on the chair. I heard someone behind me, and I turned just in time to receive a blow from a hammer. I was dazed and staggered backward, and another blow caught me at the side of my left knee. I collapsed to the ground and looked up to see who my attacker was. It was none other than Ella, breathing heavily. Her face was a mask of rage and tears in her eyes. "It was you!" she screamed and raised the hammer. I raised my hands to shield my face, but the hammer landed on my foot. I cried out in pain, wondering what she was talking about. "I didn't do anything!" I screamed, and I tried to crawl away from her. "You bastard!" she screamed as the hammer landed on my back and made me see red. She grabbed me by my broken foot and pulled me back. The pain from that alone nearly made me black out. But the pain that came from the hammer smashing into my fingers shook me awake. I screamed for help, wondering what I did to piss her off that she felt she needed a hammer to sort things out. The blows continued to land till I was knocked unconscious. I woke up 24 hours later in a hospital, covered in a cast from head to toe. Turns out, Jacob had told my friends about the shoes, so they'd been coming to throw a mock celebration party and funeral for my old shoes. They had heard the door open and saw me being beaten to a pulp with a hammer. They tackled Ella and called the police and ambulance. Ella became an orphan when she was 8. She had been the only survivor when a man broke into their house and killed her mother, father, and sister with a hammer. She hid in her parents' closet and watched as the masked man smashed her parents' joints and beat them to death with the hammer. A neighbor must have found out what was going on and called the police. The killer had fled the scene, but had dropped his shoe during the escape, which Ella had picked up. The killer wore a size 11 and a half shoe and was never caught. Seeing my shoe size triggered something in her, and she thought I was the killer. To be honest, this shit was crazy as fuck, since the killer would definitely be at least 20 years older than me.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
She was soon arrested and put behind bars. As for me, the next year wasn't easy. It took a year of physical therapy before I was able to walk again. And even now, you can notice a faint limp when I walk.
People are fond of saying no one takes a second look, or is even bothered about people who are over 60 years old. I turned 60 a few weeks ago, and the eyes still stared, took second looks, seemed to have multiplied rather than reduced or even stopped. It was absurd to think that as old as I was, I still wasn't proud of what I looked like. Sometimes I thought that it wasn't absurd. I pretty much spent my entire life regretting everything about me. I was never proud of my looks and my body. I wasn't proud of my course of study. I wasn't proud of my job. I wasn't proud of my husband and the time I chose to marry. I was proud of only one thing, my beneficial friend. Others called people like him friends with benefits. I thought the world started to revolve around me when Steve became my beneficial friend. He gave it all to me. A listening ear, time, attention, the best advice, interest, and most importantly, pleasure. He knew how to satisfy me, and he gave himself to do it as a friend. It didn't matter, not once, that he was 10 years younger than I was. I was happy with him. He was happy with me, and we didn't have any attachment of any sort. It was all going smoothly. For a while, I forgot my life wasn't something to be proud of. I would have completely forgotten if only Steve stayed with me. Yet, after finding another woman, more beautiful and shapelier, Steve abandoned our friendship to get married to her. And I was mad. It happened coincidentally when I turned 60. That's why I thought more eyes looked at me than ever. It was my shape. I was sure that if I could tweak the abnormal hips, reduce my waist, and get rid of some tummy fat, I would be a better choice for both a wife and a friend with benefits. Not bowing to my current situation, I learned from my unsatisfactory life that this time I thought I would take a strong step to make my life full again. Perhaps that would land me another Steve. I told Joan that I wanted to get plastic surgery. Joan was my closest friend, someone I wasn't proud of because of her heavy size, but she was a good friend nonetheless, one that stood by me for a really long time. She tried to talk me out of it, but we both knew that it was fruitless, no matter how hard she tried. Everyone knew I was adamant about the decision I made. I found a place. I read positive reviews about it online. Most of the reviews spoke about the professional staff and affordable treatment packages. I opted for their most coveted surgeon and scheduled an online session with him. The doctor had a lot of good reviews, and I was so happy that good fortune found me so soon.
Hi, Mrs. Jones. How are you?
I'm good, doctor.
I see that you're interested in our extensive procedure. You're at the right place, Mrs. Jones. My hands are magic.
The online appointment went well. The only weird thing was the doctor asked me to come alone, without anything but money needed for the procedure. I told Joan again, and this time she didn't fight my decision. She was only refusing to be an escort. I told her she didn't have to follow me into the operating room. All she needed to do was to stay out and ensure my safety. After a lot of ups and downs of the argument, she agreed. Having no other choice, I booked my appointment with the doctor. Joan was a police officer, and when I didn't feel safe or unsure about a certain place, I took her along with me. I think it was also one of those reasons I wouldn't let her go, no matter how prideful I was to be proud of her. On the auspicious day, I was in the car, Joan in the driver's seat. We arrived at the street in the description the doctor had given, and I told her to park the car far off while I saw the doctor, and she waited, or guarded. I entered the makeshift hospital. There was a small reception, but it was empty. It didn't seem like anyone was ever there. I wondered if the doctor worked as his own receptionist. But I was sure that there had to be a nurse somewhere. He couldn't do the surgery on his own, could he? The idea made me shiver. Two doors laid in front of me. One was labeled theater, and the other was consulting room. I knocked on the door of the consulting room and met the doctor. He sat on that iconic rolling chair, swirling and smiling at me across the only table in the office. He was the most beautiful human I had ever laid my eyes on. For a while, he reminded me of Steve. His eyes were green, a suffocating emerald green that would drown a woman. Scratch that. It could keep any human trapped forever. His voice was a thick baritone, and I could not believe my mind behaving like a 16-year-old girl giving my way into infatuation. I killed my thinking and tried to keep things professional. I couldn't do it for long. It seemed that Dr. Barry was interested in me too.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
He commended my hair first, and then my fingers, and finally, my lips. Somehow we lost track of my purpose as his patient, and his purpose as my doctor. His hands were on my face. He was sitting at his table and cupping my chin in his hands. I didn't know when, but he leaned into me, and his lips were on mine in no time. With the same energy, I returned his kiss, and my hands were on his body, around his neck first, before feeling his biceps and grabbing his muscles. My brain, the influx of dopamine, shut out everything that I wasn't proud of as our hands roamed the body of each other. I was wet, wet all over my body, most especially from my waist. I winced, moaned, and groaned. I rubbed my hands on the wetness, and it stung for some weird reason. I brought the hand to my face, and I saw red. I stopped and saw Dr. Barry grin through the kiss. Pain shot through my body, and all the excitement from before died as I bled. I was bleeding. Dr. Barry pulled back his hands, and I watched his long nails plunge into my body, creating five holes as blood gushed out. I hadn't seen his nails. I screamed. This wasn't part of the deal. In my mind, I wished and hoped with every fiber in my body that Joan would suddenly be worried and look for me. Dr. Barry pushed me against the wall and scarred my face with his long fingernails at my every attempt to fight. I was helpless, wincing in pain at the holes in my side and bleeding from my abdomen. "Aren't you too old for this, Grandma? Bitches like you deserve a—" My heartbeat increased to a level I thought my heart would explode. I was so scared. I should have listened to Joan, let go of the plastic surgery, or I should have opted for a regular hospital. I was sinking, slowly giving up for my lack of strength, and then boom, the door opened. Not only Joan, but two other police officers launched into Barry's office. He was arrested, and I was freed. It took me a while before my wounds could heal, and the physical ones did. But the whole ordeal proved to be truly traumatizing for me. The whole incident taught me to be grateful for what I had.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.